Hey everyone, Ben Lieber here for Vikings.com, and we're right here in beautiful U.S. Bank Stadium, and I'm joined by Mr. Mike Florio. Mike is Pro Football Talk, Immortality, and NBC Sports. Thanks for joining us. First, comments, just this is your first time coming through the stadium. What do you think about it?
Oh, it's an amazing venue, and I think it's better than what I envisioned. I mean, the purple everywhere. I don't think the colors of the team are going to be changing anytime soon because it's purple everywhere you look. It's bright. It's open, yet it's still domed. The press box, which is something that I'm always very sensitive to, it's open. There isn't that fishbowl effect where you feel like you're removed from the action. You can really get a sense of what's going on in the game, in the stadium, what the atmosphere is like, what the crowd is like, and I think that's going to be very beneficial for the people who are charged with passing along to anybody who's not at the game what it's like to be at the game. So a lot of little touches where you can tell that this isn't something that's going to be obsolete in 20 or 30 years. This stadium is built to last. This stadium is here to stay, and it's going to host a lot of great events. And really, it won't shock me if the one Super Bowl that's coming after the 2017 season, early 2018, that there really isn't legitimate talk about trying to get it back again because I think this facility can support it.
Well, I think the thing that kind of strikes me as the same thing is I think it's a timeless building. You know, it's not one of these things in 5 or 10 years you're like, oh, that's a dated looking stadium. And the other thing is, you know, as we look around is how much natural light is actually in here. We've heard about this ETFE roofing, but I've kind of forgotten about how much glass is actually on this kind of north facing side here. So as we're down on the field, there is a lot of natural light. It's going to feel, especially when they open the doors, like an outdoor stadium.
Yeah, and when you watch the game on TV, it's going to have that impression. I mean, we're about now at the time of day where kickoff would be, and if you were watching this on camera, you would think we're outdoors, and we're not. And I think it's a great blend, and it's a good compromise to the retractable roof that I know was part of the wish list, but when you consider how expensive it is, this is the next best thing, and I think it's going to give that combination of the noise that comes from a dome stadium, but that feel right that comes from being outside. Whatever the elements are, at least the elements won't be making their way in.
So, again, a lot of excitement, I guess, with the stadium. But as we turn to the football team, you know, a lot of people here locally, I think, are excited for the right reasons. You know, it's the hometown crowd, brand-new stadium, lots of excitement. But on the national level, do you feel like this is actually true, tangible excitement, that this is a football team that can compete?
No, I think there is excitement. There's excitement about the stadium. There's excitement about the team, about the players, a lot of recognizable names, star players that draw attention. I just worry that maybe it's too much attention, too much excitement, expectations too high. You'd always rather be off the radar screen than be the team that everybody expects to do great things. Now, I know Coach Mike Zimmer will be very candid and very profane when needed in making sure his guys understand they haven't accomplished anything yet. I mean, there's a lot of that Bill Parcells that comes through in him, and that works because you need to get the guys to understand you haven't won a single game, you haven't done a single thing, and this stadium does not matter and will not matter, and that walk through the fans back to the locker room is going to be a lot longer at the end of the second quarter and at the end of the fourth quarter if you guys aren't taking care of your business out on the field and every day that we're not out on the field.
Well, I think tempering expectations absolutely has to be probably number one as far as getting these guys into camp, realizing that, like, you know, don't listen to anybody else. Like, we talk about limited distractions all the time. That's got to be distraction number one. But I would guess that adding a Tony Sperano, a Pat Shurmur to this kind of all-star cast, not only with players but with coaches, is going to help in that regards when you can take that large message and now take it down to your assistant coaches that have been head coaches before and been there, and then tell those players in individual meeting rooms that this is for real, guys. We have to limit our expectations of what we've done thus far, and we have to go out and prove it each and every week.
Yeah, the head coach runs the whole room, and if you have guys with head coaching experience running the individual rooms, that message gets through, it gets reinforced, it continues to get hammered home what they need to do and how they need to go about their business, and to not fast forward to January and wish for that rematch with the Seahawks, because you may not get it, because you may not get to January if you don't take care of business from September through December.
And part of taking care of business, I think, is number one is Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, every team, let's be honest, it starts with quarterback. I mean, the Jets right now are going through a contract negotiation with Fitzpatrick, and, you know, he's the quarterback. He's going to make that team go. The Vikings have a quarterback now, but a lot of the developmental skills talk about Teddy's deep game. Can he throw the ball deep? Can he throw it accurately? Do you think that should be priority number one with his developmental skills?
Well, I think the most important skill he needs to develop is the ability to take the game over when they need him to. Whether that's with a deep ball, a short pass, an intermediate pass, running instead of throwing, throwing the ball away, whatever it takes to keep drives going, have that awareness, that clock in your head when Dwight Freeney has pulled off a spin move and he's coming around the side in crunch time of a game that you need to win.
Yeah.
So I think it's about putting it all together and being and becoming. And I see the torch is going to get passed from Adrian Peterson to Teddy Bridgewater. And one of my hot takes from last year was Teddy Bridgewater would be better off without Adrian Peterson because you don't rely on the running game as much and the quarterback has to develop. He has to, through the reps in his second season, get better, and it carries over to the third season and the fourth season. So that balance is going to be hard to strike, but I think that pendulum is moving toward Teddy Bridgewater, and this is the year where I think he's got to grab that and pull it in his direction and take charge of the team, and I think a lot of people are counting on him to do it. And everything I've heard from everybody I've talked to, the players that I've interviewed during the time I've been here, growth is the one word they all use, that they see the growth in Teddy Bridgewater, and this is going to be his opportunity to prove it.
Well, and a large part of that, I think that pendulum swinging the other way, is Stephon Diggs. You know, hopefully Kyle Rudolph, another healthy season, can add more in the red zone. And then you get Laquon Treadwell through the draft. So now you have three potential weapons on the outside that, yes, if Teddy can get the ball out quicker, make better decisive throws and be accurate, this can be very much a passing football team and not so much a running football team.
Yeah, and you've got Jarius Wright in the slot, who has done a lot of great things. Charles Johnson, who was a pleasant surprise in 2014, kind of MIA last year. If he can get back on the right track, he had a lot of options in the passing game. And you could get to the point where, and some Vikings fans will remember those days where it was kind of hard to get it all done with one football, when you had Robert Smith and Chris Carter and Jake Reed and Randy Moss, and how do you keep everyone satisfied and how do you keep everyone focused? That may be, and that's a good problem to have if it gets to that point, because that means that the guys are getting it done and there is the potential there for that passing attack to really take off, but it all starts with the quarterback.
And let's not forget that this is a Mike Zimmer defense. This is a Mike Zimmer's team. And Mike Zimmer is, you know, a defensive guru. He's put together a nice, solid defense. Some people want to argue that it's borderline great and can be elite. Do you see that it can be sort of the one of the elite defenses in this league?
I think it can be. Now, how the offense performs is part of it, because if the offense is getting its job done, it's easier for the defense to do what it has to do. If you're building a lead, you're going to get more sacks, and your defense is going to be perceived as having a better overall unit. So it really does go hand in hand, and I think he understands that. And the offense is in good hands with Norv Turner. Zimmer can focus on the defense, and it can be a great defense. And the wins will be what dictate how that defense is perceived. But you look at some of the great defenses in the NFL, they have the offense to do just enough, or in Denver, just barely enough, but still enough to complement the defense.
Yeah, as we kind of look at the standings of the division, right, you have to win your division to go anywhere in the playoffs. You know, that's the first step. People forget that last year the Vikings won the division. And I think it's interesting, because it's been imprinted in people's minds that this is a Green Bay Packers division and theirs division to lose, even though the Vikings won last year. How do you see this division playing out this year?
I still think you have to be cognizant of the Packers. The first six games of the regular season last year, they were unstoppable. They handled the Vikings easily in the game that was played here in Minneapolis. So they still have Aaron Rodgers. They seem to be doing what they have to do to improve the team. Then again, every year they seem to be doing that. There's something that's not right in that franchise, where they can get close every year, but they can't finish the job. I mean, they got farther than the Vikings did last year in the postseason, because they won in the wild card round and they almost beat the Cardinals in the divisional round. So they still have to be taken very seriously. It's going to be a battle week two when they come here. They'd love nothing more than to get a win in the first game in this new stadium, because that's never going to be erased from the history books if that happens. So I think they have to be taken very seriously. And there's a sense of urgency now developing with the Packers that is either going to make them better or worse. And I feel like with Aaron Rodgers and with the mindset that he has and the mindset some of the other players have, and you get Jordy Nelson healthy again, that it's going to nudge them toward being better than they were last year.
If you were scheduling these games, would you go with Packers opening game week two in this brand new stadium? Would you go Vikings Packers?
I was surprised when I saw that was the first game. But when you look at it from the standpoint of season ticket holders being inclined to resell to Packers fans, I don't think that's going to happen for the first game that counts. And I think the Cheeseheads and the green and yellow will be minimal. It's going to be as low as it's ever going to be for that game. And I think that's part of the idea. And also, if you're ever going to beat the Packers at home, you're going to beat the Packers at home in your first home game at a new stadium. There's going to be that playoff atmosphere. There's going to be that extra sense of motivation. And if you can't get every possible ounce of performance out of yourself for that game, then you're never going to.
And that game, again, is prime time, and you'll be helping cover that game as well.
Yeah, I kind of was hoping that we'd be on the road for that game and we'd be here for that game, but I'll be in Connecticut, but still we'll be watching that game and we'll be part of that game, and it's great to have that game on NBC.
All right, he's Mike Florio. I'm Ben Lieber. This is Vikings.com, and like he said, don't sell your tickets for that Packers game. Come out to the stadium, support Week 2. It's going to be a madhouse. It's going to be a playoff atmosphere. Check them out. It's Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports pretty much all week long, each and every week, 24/7, 365. So thanks.
All right,
I appreciate it.